the Unfiltered Union Podcast.
You love getting sunburned.
It's Florida.
It's like a permanent state of being for you in the summertime.
I feel like I look like a raccoon. You're, or Morticia. Do I go at the
you're,
light, like right here?
Your nose is definitely puffy, too. You got that meniscus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying it as a, like a diss, but you got really bad sunburn on your nose. And we've talked about it before, but how does it feel today? Because you've been using solar recover.
Yeah. This is not an ad by any means. Just that we have found a product that works.
Yeah.
That sounds like an ad.
Snake oil. I thought it was snake oil, but you don't get as bad a sunburn as me. I turn into Red Lobster.
Well, you get a sunburn even if you put sunscreen on.
Yes. It doesn't make sense.
Forget to put sunscreen on.
But the issue I have is I get really bad sunburn, but it's not just the sunburn that sucks. It's the aftermath.
Right.
I get hell's itch, which if you don't know what that is, it's where when your body starts healing, it just itches. And it itches so bad that I can't sleep.
Yep.
Well, I was in desperation mode one day, and I was trying to find something to help. And I went on Reddit, and they said, try Solar Recover.
And it works.
It's this spray. They call it like liquid lotion. I don't necessarily think I agree with it that much.
Well, I think it's because it's vitamin E in it or whatever.
Yeah, but it's hydrating for your skin. And it helps your skin actually pull moisture back in.
Right.
Which is what sunburn doesn't do.
Right. But this is the result of no sunscreen and solar recovery.
It hurts me.
At least I was able to sleep last night. But we have had lots of guests on the podcast until today's date. I think we counted at one point, but I forget what it was. It's in the
double
over 10.
Digits. Yeah.
I think when we have guests on, it is some of our most engaging content, right?
Yep.
We get to talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. We talk to a shark diver. Mm-hmm. We talk to a coral biologist. But we've also talked to people that we believe have an impact in our local lives as well as more of a broad span.
Friends.
I mean, it's been a lot of people that we've talked to about a lot of different things.
Right.
This is going to be different.
Yeah, this is a little weird. Not weird, but weird for us.
Right. This is a little different. I think out of all of our guests, he's probably our biggest name guest.
Yes, for sure. I mean,
and when I saw it come across,
you couldn't believe it.
I kind of fangirled a little bit.
And I couldn't believe it either, to be honest with you, because I'm not going to say I fangirled, but
I did.
He is a well-known actor. And I know him from Scream. And if you've never seen Scream, if you're like a Gen Zer and this is like an old people movie, Scream was a big part of our childhood era, mm-hmm. our younger years. And you know how you go out on Halloween and you see Elsa costumes by the masses, right? Mm-hmm. This was our Elsa costume.
Scream, yeah.
Was the Scream masks. It was insane. It was like a phenomenon.
Say his name.
And this guy played in Scream, and his name is David Arquette.
Woohoo!
I don't know. Don't ask me how we booked him, but we did.
I'm really excited. So I know him from Buffy, from WCW.
Yes.
Scream as well. I mean, there's so many things that he was in back in the early 2000s, and he was married to Courtney Cox at one point. So it's just like there's so much that I know him from. Like, he is nostalgia 2000s
yes,
for me.
That's and exactly how I feel.
I love it. I'm so excited. I'm going to try really hard not to fangirl.
Oh, yeah. But
it's going to be hard.
We have him on today to talk about a new movie that he has.
Well, before we jump to his movie, what movies do you remember that have had the most, like, hitch in the feels recently? What movies do you...
Get you in the feels. We haven't really been on a movie kick lately, but television-wise, like screen-wise, Stranger Things.
Mm, yeah.
Because there's a lot of emotional moments in that. And it's a lot about fighting through your demons.
Yes.
And that always gets me in the feels because of my past experience with OCD. So that is probably my latest get you in the feels screen time.
Yeah.
What about you?
I feel like I've been in my feels a lot recently.
Well, yes.
I feel like we had my cousin on at one point as one of our guests, right? And we talked about what's called the Bonnie gene, my grandmother's gene, where she cries over everything, drop of a hat. I feel like it's starting to come in stronger. But I agree. When I rewatched, you watched Stranger Things, I bawled.
What I found interesting about us watching Stranger Things was I could tell when something sad was going to happen because you started crying before.
Well, there's that. Oh, look at your cute sock monkey cup. Mm-hmm. That's so cute. But I think there's a lot of movies now that are so, I don't want to say, there's not a lot of movies to me that are focused on family dynamics.
Right.
That are focused on what it means to come together, what it means to build those bonds, just overall, like, good emotions, right?
Right. And just life.
Right.
Real life. Stranger Things, it's not real life. Things like that. It's always kind of this outlandish stuff in film right now. And
say hi to our cat.
And I just feel like this movie is almost bringing it back down to earth.
Right.
It's like it's an emotion and a.
Hit his butt to the camera.
Don't take pictures of this. Okay. All right, buddy, you
got
to go.
We got love bombed by the cat.
Break.
Had to kick him out. But your point about the feel goods type of movies being outlandish, I agree. It seems like the more crazy, the more fantasy, the more whatever they can sprinkle in to make it that, oh my gosh, oh, yeah. Moment.
Oh yeah.
It's like all about that. Almost like sensationalized news, but we won't go there today. So overall, I think that is where our popularity is in movies right now.
Yeah. I mean, people want to be shocked.
And I don't agree. Like Blended, the movie Blended with Adam Sandler and
I like that Drew Barrymore.
Right. It's good feeling movie, yeah, right?
Right. It's about family and there's some turmoil there with splitting up and family members dying. So grief.
Mm-hmm. I just think overall those type of movies should really be highlighted right now.
I agree. We
are as a society.
And you don't have to stop making the other ones, but there should be more real life movies for sure.
Agreed. Well, I think that's what the movie The Good Half is.
Yes.
And I'm excited to see it. Like, this is one that I have been watching all the trailers for, and it is a huge cast.
It is
a star-studded cast. It's blended family. It's all about grief, regret, and healing. And then you have Nick Jonas, right?
Yes, of course you want to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good actor.
Oh, like, yeah. No, I like him a lot.
After seeing him in Kingdom?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. He is amazing.
That's where I kind of gained a lot of respect for him.
Right.
In the Kingdom.
He is a good actor. But then you also have Brittany Snow. She's from Pitch Perfect.
Right.
I have a girl crush on her.
I mean, that's valid.
I liked her in Pitch Perfect. I think she's a beautiful woman. So I'm really excited to see her in this role. Then you also have Elizabeth Shue.
Yes. Karate Kid fame.
Uh-huh. Cobra Kai.
Allie.
Never dies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you also have David Arquette. And David Arquette, I think when we get to interview him today, that this is going to be fun.
Like, oh, yeah.
To talk about his role in this, to talk about, you know, what he sees as takeaways and overall arching themes. I mean, I'm really excited to dive in with him.
I am too, because this is, like I said, or like we just talked about, this is a real life movie. This is kind of like a life lesson type deal. Everybody grieves.
Yep.
And everybody grieves differently.
Well, and families now are so blended, right? You can have step parents, but you can also have, you know, adopted siblings or have different relationships with different family members. To me, it is a true picture of the American family now, right? Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like the message that it's going to give, I'm probably going to cry through the whole damn thing, but I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, me too. That's not my standard movie, but I do think that it is a life lesson worth watching for sure.
I'm excited.
Kind of explaining that everybody grieves in different ways. And without further ado, we introduce...
Let's do it.
David Arquette. Hey there. Is this David?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing really good. I mean, this is crazy. My wife over here is losing her shit a little bit.
Trying not to fangirl too hard. Okay.
Hi, Lynn. Oh, thank you. That's sweet to hear.
We have some questions for you today, David, and we can't thank you enough for coming on and being part of the Unfiltered Union.
Yes.
I'm going to take a few deep breaths and try and...
we can all take a deep breath.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is just a casual conversation here.
Yep, it is. Okay. I'm going to hold it together. Well, I think we've been talking about your new movie coming out, The Good Half, and we've been all about the topics, and the topics that we think are coming through for this movie are really heavy, but so important. So yeah. I wanted to ask you, what do you think are the strongest themes throughout the film?
Oh man. I mean, there's a lot of heavy topics they deal with, but they deal with it with a real sense of humor. My character says something at some point where he says, "We all grieve in our own ways." And that was sort of a pretty meaningful line. You know, Nick Jonas' character gets really upset at my character. I play a character named Rick, who's his stepdad. And I sort of tell this joke in the background at the memorial service after, not party, the gathering. And he gets really upset. And I sort of confront him with, you know, his behavior during the whole time. And it becomes this really heated argument. But what the audience doesn't know is the reason I get so upset is because there was a limousine, and the limousine went from the funeral to this gathering. And in the script, I was supposed to be in the limousine. And the director called me up and he said, "Listen, I'm just going to have the family in the limousine, so you can come in an hour later to work." I was like, "Fine, that's cool." But what he didn't know, I was cool with it as myself, but as the character, I was really upset because the character had paid for the limousine. He picked it out and now he's not allowed to ride in it. So when I get upset with Nick Jonas, it's more from a sort of personal, like shallow reason rather than me actually being upset with his feelings.
I mean, I can't imagine you guys as a cast. Like you, the whole cast that's involved just seems so star-studded. I mean, the idea that you guys kept a straight face through this whole movie and based on the seriousness of the topics, I don't believe it.
How many takes did you have to do for a lot of these scenes?
Yeah, we did have to take a few. I mean, it's funny. Like my character is sort of the outcast in the whole group. I mean, they have this sort of really tight-knit bond, and I'm always the one that they're kind of talking behind his back and all this stuff. So I don't know, I kind of felt like an outcast a little bit when I was even there sometimes. I just like but he also had a lot of confidence, a lot more confidence than I had, so he didn't take any of it personally. It's a really interesting way to sort of play a character, because I, in my head, in my responses to certain situations, I would initially like think, oh, like how I would think. But then I would think my character would never think like that. So I can completely turn on a dime and not take it personally or be offended or annoyed. I found being annoyed with people a lot was his sort of go-to because he thought himself as better than everyone else.
Well, I mean, here at Unfiltered Union, we like to think that you have complete freedom to have your own opinions, right, and you shouldn't take things personal. So I feel like your character, Rick, would be very welcomed here.
Yeah. Rick would take control of Unfiltered Union.
Bring it on.
Make it his own show and kind of talk over everyone. steer it toward what he liked.
That's awesome. So I've got a question. What was it like working with Nick Jonas? My wife is a pretty big fan, and I am too, from the Kingdom, and we both are big fans of that show as well. So what was it like working with him?
Yeah. I was so impressed at the way he balanced the humor and the drama in this role. He had this really sort of cutting, dry sense of humor. He and Brittany Snow play brother and sister, and their banter back and forth is really kind of like understated and really quick-witted. And it was funny to just watch them. I got to see them before I see them do like sort of initial scene before I was had to work with them. So I could see how they were relating to each other and how they kind of had their tempo down and how they kind of threw things away. So it was funny. And I could come in with my kind of take on it, be a little more like matter of factly, or, just kind of throw it out there rather than kind of throw it kind of under their breath like they were playing it.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see this movie. Oh, me too. I think it's going to have a great message, a great overall theme to it. So many heavy topics that we've talked about. But what do you hope that viewers of the movie take away from the movie The Good Half?
You know, I hope people find some healing from it. I mean, it's a really kind of traumatic experience to go through, to lose someone you care so deeply about. So if you can kind of like, you know, the movie does a really great job of like looking back on the good times that he had with his mother. That's what the good half represents, like this time he shared with them. And then what brought me a lot of sort of healing and closure is that I find that gratitude, when you can sit back and have gratitude to the people that were in your life, and the time that you have spent with them, you can remember those good times. It really helps the healing process.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I love this, because we talked about this right before we jumped on the phone with you, and a lot of the films out now are just they're fantasy, you know. But this is like a real life movie, you know. I just feel as if everybody needs to watch things like this every once in a while, because it's just good for the soul.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. It's grounded. It's real.
Exactly.
It's so real. There's some hilarious moments. How awkward it is sometimes going through these time periods. Somebody coming up to you and saying, "How are you doing?" when it's like the worst day of your life. You know? You can learn to sort of laugh about some of those things. I think that's also really helpful.
Oh yeah. Humor is good medicine.
Absolutely. It is healing and good for the soul. Agreed. Well, I think overall, when we talk about your role as Rick, he does seem to depict almost like a stepdad, right? He's the blended family on the mom side, but I feel like a modern blended family is every day now, right? Mm-hmm. That is an average thing. I mean, how do you feel the role depicts the struggles of the blended family?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to sometimes, you know, just even in any family, everyone has their own dynamic, and everyone has their own personality, and everyone has their own needs and wants, and, you know, their pushy side, and their, you know, everyone just has their own personality. So you have to kind of understand that. Even within a blended family, sometimes it's harder because there's like new people in your life, and you have to kind of accept them. Hopefully everyone can get along, especially with, you know, the state of the world right now where everybody's kind of quarreling about their own sort of separate things.
Amen.
It's important to just accept people for who they are and how they are. And, also, you know, stand up for what you believe.
Yeah, and you don't have to get mad when somebody has differing opinions than you.
Man, that's the tagline for the Unfiltered Union. Listen at you, David.
Yeah. Have you been on the show before?
Feels like we're all very similar.
Well, we've got you for just a couple more minutes, and I'm going to switch gears on you for a second. My dad would be really upset with me if I didn't ask you a question about your WCW championship.
Okay.
How was that experience? I mean, you won a WCW championship. I mean, with your background, you're a phenomenal actor. Again, I fangirled a little bit at the beginning here. But how did it feel being a part of that organization and winning that championship?
Wow, it was incredible. I mean, just to be within the wrestling world, it's really interesting. Like, you know, I did a documentary called You Cannot Kill David Arquette, where I went back and I independent wrestled for a couple of years and really got to know the business and meet the fans. And the fans are so incredible. When you go like city to city and you meet them in person and you see how much wrestling means to them and how much they enjoy the sport and just the storylines and meeting all these legends. Like, that's what was my favorite part, like meeting all these incredible people that I looked up to as a kid and then getting to, like, you know, tour with them. But it was incredible. I understand how upset the fans got when I won. I hope, like, me coming back sort of helped a little and showing some respect to the business, because that's what it ultimately is. There's so many generational families involved. There's so many people that put their lives on the line and just, you know, commit all their time from driving city to city to either be vendors or be the wrestlers or be the people putting on the show. So, you know, I have nothing but love and respect for wrestling. I love watching it now. I love seeing my friends that I wrestled with, you know, taking it to the next level, like Jack Perry with this new scapegoat character on AEW. It's an amazing sport. It's an amazing world to be a part of.
It's awesome. Well, he's going to love that answer.
He will.
And I've got a question for you. We kind of asked our friends, what would they ask you if they were on this interview? And my favorite one that we pulled out was, what were your favorite behind the scenes moments during filming of Scream?
My favorite behind the scenes moments were, there was one dinner party we had right at the sort of middle to end of Scream 1, where we all like went to this winery. It was just such a fun night, and Wes was just on fire and telling stories and just his charming self. I mean, my favorite parts really were working with Wes Griffin. And I think there was like a kinship between my character, Dewey, and his sense of humor and sort of his heart, that he'd find these little moments where he'd throw out little, you know, jokes or little reactions that, I don't know, always kind of stuck with me. There's one moment where I jump off and my character and Gail's character roll, and she says, "Is that what you're looking for?" And then I look at her and say, "My whole life." That was a Wes Craven. Like, he wanted me to really take that moment and look at her. Like, I've been searching for this woman my whole life. And it was just so adorable the way he sort of gave me direction on that. It was just something I always remember.
That's awesome.
Well, I love it.
You answered all of our questions for the good half and even some bonus questions. So we can't thank you enough for your time today, David. I appreciate you coming on and letting me fangirl for a moment.
Yeah, me too.
You fangirled?
Yeah, Scream was a huge thing in my childhood.
Well, we hope to one day have you back on the Unfiltered Union. Thank you so much for your time.
Wow.
Yeah. Did I fangirl too hard?
Well, I looked over at you and your eyes were watering.
I panicked.
You did?
Not panic, but like,
yeah, like, I know. I
excitement,
noticed
excitement, like overload. I don't know.
I like the dude a lot. I mean, he's, like I said, it's an iconic role in an iconic group of movies, which is Scream.
Well, and he himself, like, he was in so much back, you know, in the 2000s. I mean, he's still in a lot right now, but like, that's how we know him as millennials, right? So for me, he sounds so cool, like down to earth.
I know.
I mean, I think I could hang out with him.
I do too. I think we should try.
Be like, can you pass him our phone number?
Yeah, pass him our when he's in Florida next, just let us know.
Yeah, please. If you ever come to Tampa, just let us know. We're
please,
here.
Please, we'll do an in-person interview.
Just inbox us, DM. Slide into the DMs, David.
Yeah, but that was enjoyable. I like the premise of the movie, how it's real life lessons while rapping in humor, because you know, humor is a good medicine. Mm-hmm. And it's free.
Yep. I can't wait to see the movie. Like, we talked about the cast. He even talked about the cast. And, like, right. To know their dynamics, like, that, we almost got, like, insider scoop on it, right?
I know it. So you all are going to get the insider scoop, too.
Absolutely. I'm really excited for this movie. I'm probably going to cry my eyes out. But I wanted to talk to you about one of the commercials that David was actually in back in those early 2000 era when he was married to Courtney Cox.
Mm-hmm.
They did a Coke commercial.
Right.
And in the Coke commercial, do you remember this?
No.
Okay. In the Coke commercial, Courtney is getting herself a Coke, and it looks like they're just in their house, right? It's an everyday. And David yells into the house, hey, can you get me a drink too? Or can you get me a Coke too? So Courtney only has one left.
Ooh.
So what she does is she fills one cup up with ice and then pours in the Coke. And then keeps the rest of the can for herself and gives that to David. I'm like, is that not every marriage ever?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I'll get you one, but I'm getting the most.
Right? Like, I mean, the idea is, you know, they were a married couple and you got one Coke left. What do you do? I'm like, that makes so much sense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm trying to think of a moment that I may have done that with you.
Every day of our marriage.
No.
Every day.
Every
Whose coffee
day.
Do you make first?
Well, I have to have it. If I do
okay,
not.
Bad example.
You don't like to drink hot coffee. So true. If I make it for you, you don't even drink it right away.
Right. So you should make mine first so it cools down.
No, I have to ingest it. It can be molten lava and I will drink it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. But I think overall, him as an actor, him as a person.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I got a little nervous right when we got the phone call because this is a big name guy.
Yeah. You look over at me and say, you talk.
Yeah, I did. I said, Lindsay, you answer. Lindsay, answer. But it was just kind of like nerve wracking, but he was a great person.
Yeah.
He's no different than us.
Absolutely. You know? I think he's Pacific time. Mm-hmm. So it was like 6 a.m. his time. And he was answering our heavy loaded questions.
I don't know how he said
sorry,
so chipper.
David.
How are you so chipper? What kind of coffee do you drink? Yeah, probably. You
got or the, Coke, right? You drank a Coke.
With like, ice before. In it.
Right.
Well, I do think that you kept your cool better than I thought you would.
I almost lost it at the very beginning.
You did start. I'm serious. I think you almost cried.
No, I wasn't crying. I was more like... But, like excitement overload, trying not to be one of those fangirls in the crowd. Like, oh my God.
But I can see it in your, I could see like your eyes getting glassy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was just maybe an explosion.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
It was kind of funny. But yeah, I thought that was a great interview. I enjoyed it. I hope to talk to him again.
Agreed. Maybe post movie.
I wonder if I can get him back on post movie. The Good Half. It's in theaters tomorrow, July 23rd, 2024.
Yay!
So go check it out.
We're going to have to do a date night.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would definitely like to go see that movie.
Me too. And we've got the movie theater that has the comfy chairs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that.
Go see it.
Go see it. Love you.
Bye!
Thanks for tuning in to the Unfiltered Union Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, be sure to hit that subscribe button to keep up with our latest episodes. Thanks for being a part of the Unfiltered Union family.